Well, good morning, or I should say good afternoon to everybody here and to those who are watching online. We're here to worship God, and let us begin by doing so as we praise Him, singing from the mythical Psalm 105, traditional Psalm, Psalm 105, and we'll sing verses 1 to 8. Give thanks to God, call on His name, to men His deeds make known. Sing ye to Him, sing psalms proclaim His wondrous works each one. See that ye in His holy name to glory do accord, and let the heart of everyone rejoice that seeks the Lord. Psalm 105, to God's praise.
Thank you.
May we now come before the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we truly thank you that we can gather as we do here this day to worship you, recognizing, Lord, that there are many across the world this day that hasn't got that great privilege. And so, Lord, we remember them. But we thank you, Lord, for the freedoms that we still enjoy in this land of ours. And as we endeavor, Lord, to draw near to you, we know, Lord, that you are willing to draw near to us. We know, Lord, that if you were to mark iniquity, that is, if you were to take into consideration today our sins and faults, then we couldn't do so. But we come before you today because you ask us to come. If we come in the name of your Son, your beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the one who has paid the penalty that our sins so rightly deserve. And so we give thanks today for our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for his willingness to come into this world and to suffer and die on Calvary's cross. And even as he was dying, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." What an amazing forgiveness that is, considering the punishment that he suffered on our behalf. And so, Lord, we thank you for health and strength today to be able to be here in the circumstances that we are going through at this time in this world. And we thank you, Lord, for the desire we have had in our hearts today to come. For we know, Lord, that that is not something that we always had, or many in the world obviously don't have today either. But we, Lord, thank you, Lord, that in the process of time we came to know you. We pray today, Lord, for this congregation as a whole. We thank you, Lord, for them. We pray for the minister, his family. We pray, Lord, for the elders, deacons, for all those who work within the congregation, both in the church itself and with young people, youth fellowships and everything. We give thanks, Lord, for the witness that is held here in this part of the Block Isle. We remember today, Lord, those who would dearly wish to be here if it was possible for them to be, but can't no longer come because of old age and infirmity. But we do thank you, Lord, for the technology that we now enjoy, so that people can stay at home and they're sitting at the fireside and worshipping with us as they are now, even across the world. We marvel, Lord, at the technology that has come our way in these years. We pray, Lord, for those who are sick today, whether they are at home or in hospital. And remember those, Lord, who may be spending their latter days in an evil tiny home. be near to them, we pray, Lord, and may they also be able to worship you. We pray, Lord, for our young folk as they grow up amongst us, Lord, today in this evil world. We pray for parents and pray, Lord, that they will teach them while they are still young. We remember, Lord, all who meet today like we do, both in our own land and throughout the world. We give thanks, Lord, that your promise to us is that wherever your word is preached with sincerity and truth, it will not return empty, but that it will accomplish the purpose for which you sent it. Remember our land, Lord, and our governments and those who look over us in them, both in Westminster and in Holyrood. We continue to pray that you'll raise up young men and women to serve within these communities, Lord, who are not ashamed to speak up for the cause of Christ in our day when there is so much silence concerning it. Our minds are, of course, fixed at this time on what's happening far away in Afghanistan. When we witness these scenes returning to our screens and seeing so many die in an instant, we pray, Lord, for the families of those who have lost these men and women over these days. We pray for the people of Afghanistan. We pray, Lord, for those who are trying to help them. We pray for our own armed forces and those involved within it, Lord. Continue to pray, Lord, that they might be kept safe. But safety is something, Lord, that isn't easy come by in that land, where death is a daily occurrence. And so, Lord, we commit these things into your hand and into your care, recognizing that you are sovereign in all your affairs over this world. So draw near to us now, Lord, as we continue to worship you in praise and as we meditate upon your word. May the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, be with us and enable us to do so. For we ask all things in the name of Jesus, and for his name and for his sake. Amen. I'm just going to say a few words to younger people. I can see you some, and maybe some not so young. In the Bible, there's a book that's called Ecclesiastes. It's a big name. We believe it was written by Solomon. He was known as a very wise man. And in chapter 12 of that book, he says this: remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come to you, and you will find no pleasure in them. Let me just illustrate to you by way of a story. You see, there was a man who went for a walk one day in the forest, and he went walking for some time, and then he tried to get back home, and he discovered he was lost. And he wandered about for hours and hours, and then suddenly he bumped into another man. When he spoke to him, he discovered that that man was also lost. So one said to the other, I think we should sit down on this old tree and discuss with each other what paths we tried and see if we can find our way back out. Well, you know, that's what they did, and after some time they did indeed find their way back out of the darkness of the wood into the light of the day. Well, you know, that's the way some of us found our way to God. We maybe in our younger years tried many different ways. Many of them meaningless ways. Some of us got involved in drink, some of us got involved in drugs, some of us got involved in many other things, and each one of them led to absolute hopelessness and trouble and pain. Solomon wrote Ecclesiastes, and he was very wise. Because what he's saying to us and to you today is that the best time to get to know God is when you're young. When you're young. You see, if you allow the years to pass, you find it will be more and more difficult to take that step. It's not impossible. If it was, I wouldn't be here today, because I'm afraid I left it very long. And I regret deeply the years that I spent in foolishness when I could have been serving God. So, I'm asking you today to take notice of what Solomon said. To get to know the Lord Jesus while you're still young, before you build up this resistance, which we're all capable of doing as we grow older. As I say, I regret that. And I hope that you listen to what God's saying to you and come to know our Creator, which is God, and His Son Jesus, while you're still young. May God bless you today. We are going to continue to praise God as we sing from Psalm 19 in the Scottish Psalter again. You find it on page 223 if you're using the psalm book. It's Psalm 19 that we're going to sing from verse 9. And spotted is the fear of God and doth endure forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. They more than gold, ye much find gold to be desired are, than honey from the comb that droppeth sweeter far. Psalm 19, to God's praise. Let us hear the word of God as we find it in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 22, reading verses 1 to 14. This is God's word. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention. He went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, ill-treated them and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burnt their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find.' So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. 'Friend,' he asked, 'how did you get in here without wedding clothes?' The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, 'Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen.'" Amen. May God bless to us that reading of his holy word, and may we have some understanding of it as we look at it in a wee while. We're going to continue to sing praise to God from Psalm 89. Psalm 89, and we ring at verse 13. "Thou hast an arm that's full of power, thy hand is great in might. On thy right hand exceedingly exalted is in height. Justice and judgment of thy throne are made the dwelling place. Mercy accompanied with truth shall go before thy face." Psalm 89, singing to God's praise. Now, seeking God's help, can we turn to the portion of Scripture we've already read? That is Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 to 14. And of course, it is known as the wedding banquet. It is my intention to look over the whole of these verses with you, but I suppose if you wanted a text or something to hang on to, you could look at verse 4. Everything is ready. Come to the marriage. Everything is ready. Come to the marriage. Now really, this is the Lord Jesus speaking. It really is Jesus' sermon. It's known as a parable, but like all other parables of Jesus, it's of great importance to us all. It did, of course, in the first instance, apply to the Jews of Jesus' day. But it also applies to everyone who ever hears the gospel preached. And that surely means that it speaks to us today. You see, we are a very privileged people. We have the gospel preached to us Sunday after Sunday. And I don't really think, when you think of other parts of the world, that we really appreciate that the way we should do. So let's just look at what Jesus is saying here today. Well, you know, first thing we're told here is the obvious one, that the salvation offered in the gospel is compared to a marriage feast. The Lord tells us about a king that made a marriage feast for his son. And really what Jesus is telling us here, that there is found in the gospel a full and complete provision for the needs of men and women throughout the whole world. Because you can find in the gospel that which relieves you of spiritual hunger, spiritual thirst. You find within it pardon for your sins. You will find within it peace with God, the Father. And you will find within it the promise of everlasting life. And peace as we travel through this world. Everlasting life. Who wants to die? Who really wants to die? I don't believe anyone ever did or will do. So it's no wonder then that this gospel is a feast of good things, because after all, that's good news. And that's what the gospel means. Good news. Now the reason that all this provision came about was because of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's only Son, and the love he had for sinners like you and me. And of course that he was willing to come into the world, and that he was willing to suffer and die, to go to Calvary's cross and to take the place, our place there, and die in our stead. And of course it's an important thing that he didn't really die. On the third day he rose from the dead, as he had promised to do. And we are told, you see, that he welcomes us now into the family of God, and that he is willing to call us his own dear children. You see, Jesus has promised to clothe us with his righteousness. See, any righteousness we might have, the Bible tells us, is like filthy rags in the sight of a living God, a holy God. And he's promised to give us a place in his kingdom. He's coming back again. And he's going to raise us from the dead. And we're told in the Bible that he's going to present us faultless before his Father with exceeding joy. What a wonderful thing that is to hear today in such a world as we live in. So we see that the gospel is food for the hungry, it's joy for the weary, it's hope for the outcast of society, it's a living friend for you today if you think you're lost. It's good news, isn't it? Truly good news in a world that's full of bad news. The gospel of Jesus Christ. It's his gospel. The second thing you want to look at here is the invitation, the gospel. You find that it's wide and unlimited. In verse 4, it says, everything is ready, come to the wedding banquet. You see, there is nothing lacking as far as God is concerned in the salvation of souls. No one will be able to say on the last day that it was God's fault if they're lost. God the Father is ready to love you and to receive sinners. Jesus is ready to pardon your guilt away. And the Holy Spirit is around to awaken your spirit, to awaken you from your sleep, and to come to him, to awaken you. And we're told in the Bible that angels are ready to rejoice over you. It says they'll be rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repents. One. It would be a wonderful thing today to think that these angels are tuning up their harps as we hear today. This one sinner is coming to know the Lord. Who knows? The Bible is God's word. It's been left with us to instruct us through this weary life. It's God's handbook. It's there for us. He knows us better than we know ourselves, I can tell you, when you read it. And heaven has been prepared for us for eternity, an everlasting home. When Jesus left this world, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it wasn't so, I would not have told you. Heaven is going to be a prepared place for a prepared people, friends. A place that Jesus is preparing now. Only one thing needs to be done. The sinner needs to receive Christ. The sinner needs to receive Christ. See, we must always remember that God will be found clear of the blood of sinners on Judgment Day. Absolutely. You see, when you read the Gospel, it always speaks of sinners being responsible and sinners being accountable. You always find, if you read your Bible properly, that the gospel places an open door before all men and women. No one is excluded. Although the Bible does say that although few enter the gate, all are invited to come. Remember what Jesus said, "Come to me, all you that are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." He was talking about rest for our soul. You see, our body will die when we go to the grave, but our soul goes on. Our soul goes on. The catechism that some of us got when we were in school told us that at death the souls of believers immediately pass into glory. Immediately. And you know, friends, our soul is never at peace until we make our peace with God through Jesus Christ. You can earn as much money as you could fill this room with. You can have as many possessions that makes no difference. There is no peace in the soul of men or women until they make peace with God, their Creator. That's done through Jesus. Remember, Jesus also said that anyone that comes to him, he will never turn away. And he never has done. And he never will. If you're thinking about going today. The third thing you see in verse 5, we see that this offer is refused by many. Because it says, "They paid no attention, went off one to his field and another to his business." You see, friends, thousands and thousands of people have heard the gospel, Jesus' gospel, since he left and went back to heaven. And sadly, they have derived no good from it whatsoever. Some have listened to it Sunday after Sunday, year after year, but have not truly believed it to the saving of that soul I was talking about. Because that's what matters. That's what matters. Now, I don't believe for one minute that such people hate the gospel. I don't believe they would ever scoff at it. I don't believe they would do any such thing, and in fact I believe they even from time to time admire it. But for all that, they have not received it into their heart. Because that's what matters. That's what matters. What is the reason for that? Well, the truth is, as we see here in the scripture today, that they love other things more than Jesus. That's why. That could be anything. From our own families, from our business, to our possessions, and of course the pleasures of this world. All of these things are of more importance than Jesus. The cares of the world, the Bible talks of them. As you've seen here, country folk, maybe, the farm belongs to them, means more than Jesus. Other businesses, whatever it might be, it matters more than Jesus. Friends, we must have a personal relationship with Jesus if we're going to be saved. It must be personal. We must have received him into our hearts. Now, it's an awful state of mind to be in, as we see here, though these people had refused to go to the wedding. But you know, sadly, it's very, very common. Even among those who go to church, those who have listened to the gospel. And here we are today, and we must take a very serious look at ourselves. No one else. It's very easy to be here and to say, "I hope so and so is hearing that," or whatever. Am I hearing it? although I'm preaching it. Are you hearing it? Are you hearing what Jesus is saying to you in this sermon? We must take great care. Let's ask ourselves some questions. Have we really accepted Christ as our Saviour and Lord? Can we say today that we've been saved by the grace of God? Are we saved? Or are we continually putting these things off to some other day? A more convenient time. It's not just quite right yet. But you know, friends, that's a time that might never ever come. I'm afraid. Because the reality is, and I'm going to be careful when I say this to you, a great percentage of the human race never grow old. They die young. They die young. Surely that's why Solomon the wise man said, come to know the Creator in the days of your youth. We hear today, we might not be here tomorrow. We're not promised tomorrow. There is no doubt, friends, that the sins we see in our society today and always have been, in a way, drink, drugs, sexual crime, theft, murder, without any doubt, these sins will find many, many, many people in a lost eternity. But many will find themselves there not because they live bad lives at all, but because they paid no attention to the gospel that was preached to them. They paid no attention. See, I'm here today, and your minister will be here week in, week out, and many others. We're here because God has asked us to be here, but we can only bring this word to your ear. I cannot bring it from your ear to your heart. I cannot do that. But God can, if you ask Him. You can ask Him today. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Allow Him to take place in your heart. The fourth thing I want to look with you is in verse 11, which is a very important part of this. We see that all false professors will be found out and eternally dealt with. When the wedding hall was finally filled with guests, the king noticed someone who was not wearing wedding clothes. You notice he asked him how he got there. He had no answer. He was speechless. You know, friends, that's the way it's going to be on the day of judgment. Those found on the left hand were lost, nothing to say. Speechless. There was nothing to say. You know, the king told his servants to tie him hand and foot and throw him out into darkness, and said, for there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, you know, friends, there will always be false professors in the church here on earth. Jesus talked about things like that, and he talked about sheep and goats. And I believe, when I looked into it, that the reason Jesus used sheep and goats was this, that the sheep and goats in that land that he was brought up in were very similar to look at. Our sheep and goats are not like that. But they were so similar that only the shepherd would know the difference. And you know, that's the way it is with the church. It's what we call, or what the theologians call, the visible church on earth. That is what we see, not what God sees. There'll always be sheep and goats, I'm afraid, in the church, an invisible church, until the end of time. The courts of the church have a duty, as we call it, the free church at communion times, to fence the table. But you know, men cannot read the hearts of men and women. It's impossible. As long as men and women profess to be believers and live outwardly good lives, who can really say that he or she is not close to the righteousness of Christ? Man can't do that. Man cannot do that. But really what we're seeing here today is, because, you know, there's going to be a day of judgment. The Bible tells us first death, then judgment. And it also tells us that the judge is going to be no other than Jesus Christ himself. He's going to be appointed the judge. And there will be no deception for him whatsoever. None. He will decide who are his and who are not. All nominal Christianity will be found wanting. None but true believers will sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's what this is about, this Jesus preaching here, this sermon. Of course, there's going to be those who plead good lives. They'll say, we always went to church. They'll say, we never did anyone any harm. We spent money to this and did that and the next thing. And every one of them will be good qualities and must be absolutely recommended. That, as I've said already, a heart that has been truly renewed is necessary. A personal walk with the Lord Jesus. Remember in the Bible, in the Gospel according to John, there was a man came to see Jesus at night. His name was Nicodemus. He was a very clever man, a teacher of Israel himself in the Sanhedrin. But he came to see Jesus about everlasting life, and he came at night, maybe because he didn't want to be found out, I don't know. And he asked Jesus, and Jesus said, you must be born again. Well, as I said, he was a very clever man, and he wondered how a man or a woman, how could you go back into your mother's womb and be born again? But that's not what Jesus meant. He told him, he's telling him, he must be born of the Spirit, renewed. Born, that's what being born again means. It's a new life. All things become new. All things seem different when the Spirit of God comes to live within you. And that's what they mean by, I will give you a new heart. The things that we've thought yesterday was brilliant become of no use to us whatsoever the next day when the Spirit of God has come to live within us. Well, all others, it seems, Jesus is telling us, will be stripped of their false garments and stand naked before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What Jesus is saying, they'll be stripped of their self-righteousness. You see, that's believing in yourself. They're going to be cast into darkness. That's awful. You know, friends, I hope there isn't anybody in this gathering this day that is searching in themselves for their salvation. I really hope not. Because I've said already today, anything we believe in ourselves is like filthy rags in the face of a holy God. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Nothing. Nothing. You know, friends, I would have found these things I'm seeing you today very difficult if I had not got the free offer of the gospel, which you read and which I preached to you when I began today. That's the difference. You see, the Bible most certainly tells us there's a hell, a lost eternity. You don't hear an awful lot about that from our pulpits today. But you know, when I looked at it, Jesus talked about it 11 times. Himself, the Son of God. And the reality is, you know, none of us need to go there. None of us need to go there if we believe in Him. So as we think on this message left with us for Jesus here while He was on earth, we have to leave today remembering that we are among those to whom the gospel has been preached. Possibly some for many, many years. Maybe some not so long. And it may be that you're only here for the first time. I don't know you. And if you are, then I hope you hear what Jesus is saying to you. It's an extraordinary privilege to be under the gospel of Jesus Christ. So many parts of the world have never heard it. They never heard it. And we don't have to think far, but look at our televisions today when you see some of the tragedy of other religions and other beliefs. The scripture says to today, everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet. You see, all the work has been done by the Lord Jesus Christ when He died on the cross. All of it. His last cry from the cross was, "It is finished. It's done. It's over." You and I can't add anything to that. And friends, we dare not take anything away from it either. The work is done. Yes, the hymn writer had it right when he said, "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling." Let us be very careful today, friends, that we don't refuse the one that asks us to come. You see, that's not me. That's Jesus. That's the Holy Spirit. That small voice that's speaking to you in your ear today, that's not me. That's God. Don't refuse Him. Don't refuse Him. I remember refusing that voice often and spent years and years of foolishness. Very easy done, like I said to the children. See, don't carry on in carelessness. So many do. The king will soon be coming to welcome his guests. Jesus said, I will come again. I will come. We leave here today asking ourselves how we put on the wedding garment, how we put on Christ. See, that's a great question that comes from this parable of Jesus. Maybe here I'm speaking to us today. Everything is ready. Come. And come just as you are. Amen. May God bless His word to us today. Let us pray. Gracious God, we do thank You for Your word. We thank You for the earnestness of it. We thank You for the invitation that's clear to us, that asks us to come just as we are. May it be, Lord, that anyone in here today who has been refusing that voice does so no longer. May they hear You speaking to them. May they come just as they are. We thank You, Lord, for that wonderful invitation. We thank You for the simplicity of it. We thank You, Lord, that You have done it all for us. For we ask it of You in Your name and Your name only. Amen. We're going to close by singing to God's praise from Psalm 80. Psalm 80. And we're going to sing from verse 14. O God of hosts, we Thee beseech, return Thou into Thine. Look down from heaven and love behold, and visit this Thy vine, this vineyard which Thy own right hand has planted us among, and that same branch which of Thyself Thou hast made to be strong. Psalm 89 at verse 14. Psalm 80, I should say, at verse 14. And now by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest on and abide with each one of us this day and forever.